Our first lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, and it's taking place on Sunday evening. Friday, Jesus had been crucified and placed in the tomb, and now it is Sunday evening of that same week. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I love the story of Thomas, and I like to call it Thomas Missed Easter, because he wasn't there with them on that first Easter evening when Jesus showed himself to the other disciples. And because of that, because he didn't believe their testimony, we have forever named him Doubting Thomas. Now, he's not called that in the Bible, but that's the name we tagged him with. And it's kind of a shame because the other disciples didn't believe either until they saw Jesus. The women had told him that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they didn't believe it. It wasn't until Jesus appeared to them that they believed. But we blame Thomas for the doubting. But I'm glad that he doubted, because there's a part of me that also doubts. From time to time, it's like, this is just too much to believe. And I'm reminded that Thomas also doubted, but he came to belief. And so I love this story. And what I'd like to do today is try to put myself in Thomas's shoes. I like to do this from time to time, to imagine myself into one of the characters in the story and try to imagine, what was it they were thinking? What were they doing? What were they up to? And so I'm doing that this morning with Thomas. It's a three-act play, very short acts of Thomas Missed Easter, the story told from Thomas's perspective. So if you'll bear with me, all three acts take place in the upper room. The first two acts take place on that first Easter Sunday, and the third act takes place a week later. So bear with me. Here's Thomas's Thomas Missed Easter. "All right, gentlemen, the doors are locked. The women are gone. We need to talk." Normally, Peter is the one that leads these type of discussions, but he's over there in the corner having his pity me party. "Oh, I denied the Lord 3 times. Oh, I'm so bad." Well, get over it, Peter. We all abandoned Jesus. When the soldiers came in the garden, we all ran away. We're cowards just like you. You know, when the going gets tough, well, we got going in the other direction. So get over it. We need to talk about other things. This crazy day, these crazy, hysterical women show up and start talking about Jesus is alive. Mary Magdalene says she saw him. Oh, gosh, these women, what's wrong with them? You know, they probably haven't eaten or slept since Thursday. Their minds playing tricks on them. This is what they want to believe. But we know better. The dead don't come back to life. When you die, you die. What's that? Lazarus? Yeah, I remember Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but that was different. Jesus raised him from the dead. Well, where is Jesus to raise Jesus from the dead? Besides, Lazarus was sick and he died. Jesus, a whole other story. He was beaten half to death, and then he was flogged by the Roman soldiers to an inch of his life, and then they hung him on that cross to die. And if that wasn't enough, at the very end, they took a spear and pierced his heart. He's dead. And you don't come back to life from that type of death. Just forget this nonsense. John, I know you and Peter went to the tomb and you saw it was empty. The linen cloths were there, but the body was gone. That doesn't prove he's alive. Just proves somebody stole the body. I don't know who stole it. The Romans, well, I don't know why they would have stolen it. They put a guard around the tomb to make sure nobody did steal it. So why would they steal it? The Jewish leaders, why would they steal it? They're the ones that had him killed. I mean, what did they do? Take him and try to kill him again? Or maybe, you think maybe it's a trick to try to draw us out so that they can arrest us too, perhaps kill us? I don't know. I can't believe it's the Jews. Somebody's playing a dirty trick on us. That's all I can say. I don't know. But let's face reality, men. We've wasted the last 3 years of our lives. We thought that Jesus was the one, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that would come and restore Israel to its greatness. I mean, we heard him teach. He taught with authority. Surely this was the one. He did miracles. We saw the miracles being done. But he's dead. How can you have a dead Messiah lead the country into its greatness again? It's over, men. It's over. What are we going to do? You think we can go back to our old ways of living? I'm afraid that if we all walk out and try to walk back to Galilee, we're going to be arrested. And what's waiting for us if we go back? Broken dreams. Our being ashamed. Nobody. Peter's over there still in the corner. What do we go back to? I just don't know. I got to get out of here. I got to go think. No, Philip, you can't come with me. I need to be alone. Just leave me alone. I'll be back in a while. Act 2. Hey, guys, I'm back. What? What's going on here? I left and you were all despondent and depressed and now you're laughing and smiling and what's going on? Jesus is alive. No. What? Y'all playing a trick on me? This is not funny. What do you mean he was right here in this room? What did he do? Come up and knock on the door and you say, who's there? Why, it's Jesus. Oh, let's let him in. No. What do you mean he just appeared? Nobody opened the door. What, he came through the wall? People don't come through walls. What have you been drinking? I think y'all are drunk. You're as bad as the women now. Hallucinating. And I don't care what you say to me. I will not believe. Dead is dead, and Jesus was dead, and he's not coming back. I don't care what you saw. He's not alive. I will not believe unless I can see the nail holes right there in his hands. Unless I can put my hand in that hole in his side where they pierced his heart. No, I'm not going to believe. I don't care what you say. It didn't happen. You're just nuts. You're crazy. You're hallucinating. You're drunk. I don't know what it is. But he's not alive. End of Act 2. Act 3, a week later. Come on, guys. This is getting old. If this is a joke, you got to end it. It's not funny. It wasn't funny at the beginning. It's certainly not funny a week later. Just stop talking about Jesus being alive. You walk around with a big old smile on your face, and you're laughing, and you're kind of acting like you're floating on the air. Even Peter's gotten over his pity party. I don't believe you. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to believe you. It's just crazy. What? You say he appeared to you. Why didn't he appear to me? Was I not part of was I not with him at the very beginning, just like you were? Did he not choose me to be one of the 12, just like he chose you? So why isn't he showing himself to me? And what are you looking at? Why are you laughing? What are you pointing at? Whoa. Jesus. Is that you? Is that really you? You're alive. That is you. I see the hole. I don't know what to say. My Lord and my God. Yes, I do believe because I see. I see you and I believe. And what's that? Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. Yes, blessed are they. But I will tell them, Jesus. I'll go around and I'll let everybody know that I've seen you alive, that you are alive. You have been risen from the dead. I'll tell everybody. I'll never doubt again. Praise God. Praise God. I don't get up so well. Like I said, I love this story. Because I suspect everyone here at some time or another has identified with Thomas. I don't believe. It's just too crazy. We have those doubts. Even if we don't want to name them out loud, they're inside us. Yes, it's too crazy. Yes, it's unbelievable. And we so much want to believe. And so we're there kind of between that yearning, wanting to believe, but not fully feeling like we can, and that place of faith where we do believe. And we have Thomas's story of where he's made that journey from doubting to believing. And he, like the other disciples, they never let go of that belief. With the exception of John, who died of old age, they all died a martyr's death, never turning back, never renouncing Jesus, never denying that he was raised from the dead. And so we can learn from Thomas. You know, Thomas traveled as far away as India, sharing the good news of Jesus. There are churches in India that that hold to his name. And he died a martyr's death while in India. So where are you at this morning? Holding on to that solid faith that Christ is risen? Ready to live that faith out, to share that good news with others? Or is that doubt kind of there that holds you back? We're going to have prayer. I'm going to give you about a minute of silent prayer to talk with God, Tell God where you're at. What are your beliefs? Where is your faith? Are there doubts? Inviting God to reveal himself to you as he revealed himself to Thomas. So let us pray, and in a minute I'll say amen, and we'll sing our next hymn. Let's pray. Amen.